Philippians chapter 1. If you need a Bible and you don't have a Bible, if you just raise your hand, we've got folks that'll give you a Bible. But Philippians chapter 1 this morning. There's a verse that we all know and are familiar with in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Without reading the whole chapter, I want to go to a verse that we're so familiar with. But I pray that this morning it would, the Lord through His Spirit would use it to impact our lives. And it's verse number 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, many times we hear that verse, we read that verse, we think of that verse, and we can quote that verse, and we can say that verse. But this morning, I really want us to consider if that is our verse. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because this morning we're going to look at that verse in the context from which Paul is speaking. You know, when you read through the Bible, there's many accounts of people in their lives that by faith faced challenges and by faith had the victory over those challenges. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, whatsoever cometh the world is by faith. And it's our faith that gives us victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, I was reading this past week, just every morning I was reading about David and Goliath. David and Goliath. There's a man that could stand next to Paul. They could testify about the challenges that they faced and how God gave them the victory by faith. Other men in the Bible could stand alongside of them. We could look at three men, actually four men in the book of Daniel. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They could stand alongside Paul, and they could stand alongside David, and they could speak of the challenges that were brought to their faith and how they were able to stand by faith with courage and face those challenges, and God would bring them through. We could add to that list, we could add men like Peter or men like Stephen. Peter thrown in prison, Stephen martyred for the faith, and all these different individuals could stand next to Paul, and they could all say that, boy, I faced some challenges in life, and yet through faith, God gave me the victory. But here's the thing. When you line up Paul, or Peter, or James, or John, the Isle of Patmos, when you line up those men with men like David, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as everybody is familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, or others, and you were to ask them about the challenges that they faced and their faith and how God brought them through, they would say something. I know they would say something because this is what Paul is saying. They would say, well, it wasn't really about me. David, when you look at the battle that he fought with Goliath, David would say, it wasn't about me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'd say, no, it wasn't about me. Daniel, no, it wasn't about me. Paul, no, it wasn't about me. It was about someone greater, more important. It was about the Lord. And yet they could with Paul, and this is the title of the message, they could with Paul and Peter and John and David and Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they would say, but I'll make this one statement. I'm all in. They would say, you know, when it came to that battle, I'm all in for Christ. I'm all in for the Lord. And this is what Paul is saying here. And in our vernacular, in our phraseology today, Paul is basically just saying, you know what? I'm all in for Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, I'm all in for Christ. And my question this morning is, are we all in for Christ? Are we really all in for Christ? You see, we can say we are, but does our life speak to us and testify? Paul says that over in the book of Romans, he said that the Holy Spirit bore him conscience, that the Holy Spirit backed up what he said and gave credibility to what he says. And Paul says, I'm all in for Christ. And you see the context of Philippians chapter 1. In fact, the context of all of Philippians, the context is this. That Paul, because he has been preaching Christ and serving Christ, he's in prison. He's in prison. Think about that. When you read, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and when you read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you read, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul's not writing those just in the context of his Christian life and the everyday life as he's going through life. He's writing those in the context of serving Christ that is causing him to be in circumstances that are a great challenge. Because he's in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, as you read through chapter 1, he still is strong in his faith because he's strong in his faith because he believes that he's going to be delivered out of prison and be able to come back in fellowship with this church at Philippi. But I believe that Paul would say, as we go through the book of Philippians, he would say, but it's not about me. It's about something greater. That's what I want us to see this morning. Because we can get just wrapped up in our personal life, be saved, know the Lord, be assured of heaven, and yet what about Christ, who gave his life for us? And what about the gospel of Christ? What about the work of Christ? Are we all in for Christ? You see, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul's going down through and he's speaking about his circumstances, and yet he's filled with joy. When you're all in for Christ, you can still have joy with the circumstances. When you're all in for Christ, you can rejoice. But this morning, as we look at Philippians chapter 1, in that verse that we're also familiar with, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, the first thing, and there's a cause. There's a cause. For to me to live is Christ. And the cause, the word cause really means that foundational reason that motivates you to do something. And that cause is Christ. When Paul is saying, for to me to live is Christ, he's looking beyond himself and he says, there's a cause. There's a reason to live. There's a reason to go on. He says it in verse number 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful. He says there's a cause, and that cause is Christ. And that cause is the gospel of Christ. You look at chapter 1 and go down to verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. When Jesus Christ came into this world, what was the cause for which Jesus Christ came? Jesus Christ came to live a holy life. While he was here on earth, he performed miracles and he taught. But there was a cause. There was a reason why Jesus Christ came. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. And that's the gospel, that Jesus Christ came. The reason why Jesus Christ came is so that he could live a sinless life, a perfect life. And when he went to that cross, gave his life on that cross, he did it so that he could take your place for sin and be your substitute. So that through the shedding of his blood, you could have the forgiveness of sin. That was the cause for which Jesus Christ came. And Paul understood that because throughout his life, before he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior, in Acts chapter 9, Paul was a man that fought with every fiber in his body against the cause of Christ. He was not merely just an unbeliever. He was not just, I mean, he fought. He says, I blasphemed, I persecuted, I was injurious to everything and everyone associated with Christ. But one day he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and he says, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he says, now I have a cause to live for. And he says, that cause is greater than me. He says, that cause is Christ. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 1. Look what he says in verse number... Oh, just pick up some of these verses. In verse number 12, he's speaking about the things that have happened in his life. And he says, but I would you understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Right here, Paul's thankful. He's thankful for this, that the things that have happened in his life, the result has been that the gospel has gone further. Paul says, you see, it's bigger than me. He says, I could focus on these things, and I could think about being in jail, and I could think about being beaten, and I could think about being persecuted, and I could think about all these things, and I could think of all these in relation to me, he says, but there's a greater cause, and it's Christ. And these things have gone to the furtherance of the gospel. Look what he says. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all of the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And he goes on in verse 18. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and rejoice. And he says the cause for which he lives is the gospel of Christ. And that's why he says in verse 27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Because that's the cause, folks. That is the ultimate cause for which we are to live. The gospel of Christ. That we would have the opportunity speak of Christ, to tell others of Christ and tell others that Christ loved them and died for them, gave their life for them so they could be saved and have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And when that cause is our cause, boy, it changes your life. It helps you to just think of others. Not only think of others, but think of others in relation to telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it becomes more than anything else, and it becomes your heart. It becomes your life. For to me to live is Christ. The other night I was down at BJ's. You know, funny thing happened. Well, a ridiculous thing happened because it was me. So I was buying a couple of tables. And so I had one of those, you've all been to BJ's, right? You know those carts, the flat red ones? Well, I came out of the store with that cart. I had a couple of tables on it. And so my truck is way down the end of the parking lot. And the parking lot's on a slight hill. So I was tired, so I hopped on the cart. I just figured I'd ride the cart down to my truck. So I hopped on the cart, and I'm steering. Here's a 63-year-old man riding the cart down the middle of two aisles at BJ's. And this man rolls down his window. This guy rolls down his window. His vehicle is Suburban, whatever it was, and he just starts laughing. He says, "Never gets old, does it?" I said, "No, it never gets old." I says, "Hey, you gotta have fun when you can, right?" And so anyways, just that little brief conversation, and I hopped in my truck and had to go to Walmart. So I go over to Walmart, and I'm walking in front of Walmart, and all of a sudden, I see this same man pulling up. So I turned and I stopped and I said, "Hey, what are you following me?" I said, "Because there's no more shows tonight. It's over." I said, don't follow me and expect another show. I said, "There's no hills here in the Walmart parking lot." But you know what? That opened up the door to talk to that man for about 5 minutes about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it started with just a silly thing in the parking lot. We got to talk about Christ and whether or not he had a relationship with Christ. You see, Paul says, there's a cause, folks, and it's the gospel of Christ. For the world needs to hear about Jesus Christ. The world needs to hear about Jesus Christ. When I got that news that someone shared with me about Pearl Street, I said to myself, well, there's only one thing to do, and that's to go back to that street and start standing there and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. And so Paul says there is a cause. Folks, there is a cause, and it's the gospel of Christ. It's preaching Christ. Whether it's to family, to neighbors, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's going into different communities, that's the cause, folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 6 times in one chapter, Paul mentions in Philippians chapter 1, the gospel. The gospel. Paul, what about you? No, it's not about me. It's about Christ. Why Christ came. And that we should be preaching Christ and telling others about Christ. But Paul, what about your circumstances? Don't worry about those. Be more concerned about the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And you see, that cause, not only is there a cause in Philippians chapter 1, but you can see the commitment of Paul. Paul says, for me, to me, to live, is Christ. What Paul is saying is it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. And it's all about why Christ came. And it's all about telling others why Christ came. But as Paul says, for to me, to live, that's what it's all about. That's what it should be all about for you and I. Is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You look at, in fact, you know, going back to point number one, just for a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David is there facing Goliath, the rest of Israel is standing still doing nothing because they're in fear. The reason they're in fear, folks, is because they weren't walking with God by faith in the previous chapter. But anyway, so David comes. David came in obedience to his father. He was sent by his father to go. He comes at a battle. And hears about Goliath. And David says, well, I'll take the challenge on. I'll go fight this Goliath. And he's mocked and ridiculed by his brothers. And then David says this. What have I done? Is there not a cause? You see, David did not stand up to Goliath to achieve some popularity in his own life. He did not stand up to Goliath because Goliath was challenging him in his life. Goliath was challenging God. Goliath was challenging God. David said, there is a cause. This guy's defying the armies of the living God. He's bringing reproach to the name of God. He says, my God's name is being reproached. And he says, there's a cause. It's not, David says, it's not me, it's God. And folks, the cause is Christ and the gospel of Christ. But with that cause comes commitment. You see, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, to live is Christ. Look what he says in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. But there's a commitment, and Paul's commitment is that Christ would be magnified. He says, whether it's by life or by death. He says, for me to live is Christ. And we could go down through and we could look at the whole chapter, but come to chapter 2 for a moment. You know, we read these verses, but think of these verses now in the context of what Paul is saying, in the context of Paul's life, as he is saying, there's a cause, and the cause is Christ. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You come to chapter 2, and all of a sudden you start reading verse number 5 down through verse number 11. And he says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and humbled himself. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But he says, let this mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, but was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul says, with that cause, when that cause grips your heart, it'll lead to a commitment of life, that Christ would be magnified in my life, in my body, whether by life or by death, but there's a commitment. There's a commitment. You know, go back to Daniel chapter 3 for a moment. One of the best testimonies of commitment is in Daniel chapter 3. Now, God gave these guys a victory, did he not? In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand before this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's built this tower, and he says, if you don't kneel down and worship me before this tower, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Well, there's a challenge, right? And here's these three men. These three men. And they knew it was not about them, but it was about the Lord. Because did not the Lord say, you should not bow down to anybody apart from the Lord? And so you come to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Well, verse 15, he says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And right there, you can see the backbone getting up on these guys. Who is your God that shall deliver you? And look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, we don't need to go home and talk about this. We can answer right now. We don't need to go think about it. We can tell you the answer right now. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, you ask us who is able to save us from the fiery furnace? Listen, we know by faith who our God is. We know there's none greater than our God. We know that our God is able to deliver. Lord, Nebuchadnezzar, this simple question, simple answer. You say, who's your God? Our God's the one that created everything. And he's able. But look at the commitment. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. There's their faith. He will deliver us. There's faith, isn't it? You're standing before a man that says, if you don't bow down, you're going in that furnace right there. What do you say to that? Our God is able and he will deliver us. Were they brash? Were they arrogant? No. But they were full of faith. But then look at the next verse. Verse 18. But if not, we know our God's able and we believe he is going to. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they said, if not, we are still not bowing down. We are not worshiping you. We are going to worship the Lord. There was their commitment. And that commitment was made before they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Because when you understand the cause, that cause calls for a commitment of life, no matter what. And these guys said, we're willing. We know our God's able. We know he will. But if not, we're still committed to him. We're still committed to him. And that cause takes great commitment. But back in Philippians chapter 1, understand this, that cause, the cause for the gospel of Christ, requires commitment of being all in. But understand this. You also understand the cost. The cost. You know, Jesus said this. He said, if you're going to build a building, count the cost. If you're going to do a work, count the cost. And you do. When you build a building, you sit down and say, okay, here's the building we want to build. Now, how much is it going to cost? What's it going to cost? And when you come to the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only is there a commitment, but there's an understanding of the cost. Because when Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, folks, he is not speaking about death just in a personal way as it occurs in everyday life. He is saying that for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he is speaking about the cost, that the reality in Paul's life is that the gospel of Jesus Christ could bring about his death. When you read about Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he's understanding that this cause of Christ is so great that it calls for a commitment of life, but the cost potentially could be death. Paul knew that because Paul was on the other side of it. Paul, for years before, had brought about the death of others because of the cause of Christ. So Paul knew, hey, listen, this cause for Christ? He says, it requires great commitment. And he says, it could cost everything. Go down in chapter 1 and verse number 29. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. You know, if you were to go back to Romans chapter, in fact, go back to Romans chapter 8. There's a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8 that we take and we read. And there's an interesting verse. We read verse, well, let's read 35, verse 35, Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we read those verses and we read about we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We read verse 38 and verse 39 that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. But I purposely did not read a verse that's right in the middle. Interesting verse in verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake, for the sake of Christ, for the cause of Christ, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Right there in the middle, Paul says, for the sake of Christ, for the gospel of Christ, he says, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. What he's saying is, for the sake of Christ, he says, one by one, we're being killed. We're being martyred. In Paul's day, it was happening. It was a reality. When people spoke up for Christ, when they preached the gospel of Christ, when they were committed to Christ and the gospel of Christ, every individual that was committed to Christ and testified of Christ, every time those missionaries went to a different city to preach the gospel, every time a church was started, everybody understood the cause was Christ. Everybody understood that it took great commitment. Everybody also understood what it could cost. And in Philippians chapter 1 says, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die, he says, that's a very real possibility when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, think about it. He says, even if I am to die in the battle for Christ, he says, it's gain. He was looking on the bright side of something. It was a very serious thing to consider. He says, I might die for Christ. It might cost me my life. But even there, he says, it's gain because I'm going to spend eternity with him. And so this morning, folks, there is a cause. There is a cause, and it's greater than you and me. It's greater than us. The cause is Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ would be preached and shared and made known to people that need Christ so that they could understand what Christ went through and what he did for them so that they could trust Jesus Christ, believe on his name, and be saved. Remember back in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas there in jail, another jail? They're singing praises unto God, and they're praying, and they're thanking God. And And what happens? There's an earthquake, the jail is broken open, and they have the opportunity to speak to a jailer. And the jailer says this, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And right in that moment, Paul and Silas are rejoicing, but they knew the cause, the commitment, the cost, and they would say, "You know what, it's worth it." Because this man and his family trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is a cause, folks, and it's the gospel. It takes commitment. And there's a cost. But whether it's Paul or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, or Peter, I mean, John the Baptist. We read about John the Baptist, and preaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And what did John the Baptist say in John chapter 3? "He must increase, but I must decrease." Boy, were those words something to say. Because you know what happened right after that? He says, "He must increase, I must decrease." And right after that, he spoke up for the cause of Christ and he told the king, "Hey, listen, it's not right for you to be doing what you're doing. It's immoral for what you'd be doing." Guess what? They took his head off. But he says it's worth it. You know, years ago, we read of men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Read of men like Paul and Peter. But you know, we have other examples and other testimonies of people that live in our day, in our age. I think of the Shoals over there in Greenland. Now, I remember when Chris and his wife, I remember meeting them. In fact, probably something that many of you don't know is that before they went to Greenland, Chris and Shoal and his wife, they came and helped start Citywide Baptist Church in New London. They helped with that before they went to Greenland. They were here and they were walking the streets of New London, witnessing to people in New London. We have examples in our own midst, in our own day, in our own age, of people that have gone off and said, "You know what, the cause of Christ is great. And we'll commit our life. We'll give our life to Christ. And if it means going to Greenland, we'll go to Greenland. If it means whatever it means, it means." But I remember years ago, right here, kneeling right here with a young man that was in our midst. A young man, I forget. I think he was working here. I don't remember all the details. But I remember one night after service, I don't know who preached, but I remember kneeling right there with a young man named Dave Olson. Dave Olson came. He got up out of a seat right over there. And he came down here, and I came and knelt with him, prayed with him. And that night, right here, Dave Olson said, "I'm all in for the Lord. I'm all in for the Lord Jesus Christ." At that moment, Dave Olson didn't know what it would entail. He didn't know what it meant. He didn't know what it would cost. He knew nothing except for the fact that there's a cause for Christ that is greater than me. And right now, as a single young man, right there, I had the privilege of praying with Dave Olson as he said, "Lord, I am all in." He didn't say those words, but he said, "Lord, I give my life to you." He knew nothing of the future and what it would entail. He didn't know that right here, that moment when he knelt right here and said, "Lord, I'm all in, I give my all to you." He didn't know that as a result, he would go off to Bible college and he would get married. He didn't know that it would lead him to Zambia. He didn't know that in Zambia, he and his wife and his kids would have to have a dog, not so much for a pet, but for protection from venomous snakes that were all over the yard that would continually just be there to bite and poison their kids. He didn't know about the accidents, the car accidents that would nearly take the life of him and his wife. He didn't know about the days and weeks that he would spend in the hospital. He didn't know about the people that he would face that were possessed with demons. He didn't know about how his health would be taken from him to the point where he can't go through a day without pain. He didn't know that he would have to come back off the field and live a life where he's debilitated from doing all that he would like to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know all those things, folks. All he knew is when he knelt right here that there was a cause that was greater than him. And it was Christ and the gospel of Christ. And he said, Lord, whatever it takes, wherever you want me to go, whatever it means, Lord, I'm all in for you. And I know this morning that if I got on the phone and I got a FaceTime, whatever, Dave Olson was right there on the screen communicating with us. And we were to ask Dave Olson, Dave, is it worth it? Was it worth it to bow right there on your knees and give your life to Christ? And now, as you go through all these things where even now today, years later, you're facing surgery on the brain because of all those things that took place as a result of kneeling there for Christ. And I know that if I asked Dave Olson, was it worth it? He would say 1,000 times yes. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so I ask you this morning, is there not a cause? The answer is yes. There is a cause. It's Christ and the gospel. But what will we say? Will we say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain? No matter what, the cause is Christ. Let's pray.